are hearing about widespread power outages in Ukraine. Let's get the story from Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, what's going on there today?
Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv. It was another snowy morning. It's above freezing now. Here in Kyiv, in the capital, there's power and heat, electricity, and there is throughout most of Ukraine. I would not say it's widespread, but there has been a very intense storm over the Black Sea, which actually has affected Russia as well. And in Russia, there's been many power outages, as in southern Ukraine, near the Black Sea coast, down near Odessa. There's been significant snow and wind. And so while there are some power outages, it's important to say there are no major power outages. There really are no power outages right now because of Russia. And I think this could easily get missed because what we're seeing right now in the global headlines, for a while there was a sort of ignoring of Ukraine after Hamas's October 7th attack upon Israel. But now we start to see these sort of, you know, strange negative threads when, in fact, I mean, despite all the warnings, you know, day by day we go by, it's getting colder, snows keep coming, and Russia has not had any successful strikes upon Ukrainian infrastructure. We have, you know, in such like a year ago at this time, people were freezing in their houses. It was scary to take an elevator because you never knew if you'd get stuck for a few hours. There actually were care packages in elevators in Kyiv, you know, in case you did get stuck for a couple hours. None of that is happening right now. And so even though we had some nationwide air alarms this morning, but all was calm away from the front lines. Currently, the oblast or the provinces in eastern and southern Ukraine are under air alarm, but the skies are calm. There is very intense fighting in several places, especially in a little city called Avdiivka, which is very close to the Russian city, or the city, the Ukrainian city of Donetsk, which the Russians have occupied since 2014. Very intense fighting. Which we can talk about in a minute, but there's also some strange intrigue that's happening. And I think, you know, we started to see several months ago, you know, as Ukraine was having significant success using this limited number of long-range weapons from the West, we started to see other tactics, propaganda tactics, and now we're seeing some new strange maneuverings. For example, big news in Kyiv today is that the wife of the chief of Ukraine's main intelligence agency. It's called the HUR, and the chief of that, his name is Kirill Budanov. He's a hero to Ukrainians. He often posts online very cheeky, sort of vague threats against the Russians, you know, saying we know where you're sleeping, that sort of stuff. His agency has boasted about what they, you know, always vaguely, but boasted about what they've been able to do in the Crimean Peninsula. And today we have headlines that his wife, Mariana, is in hospital after being poisoned. She allegedly was poisoned with heavy metals. And this is the big chatter today. You know, is this some attack, some attempt to hurt this guy who's been so effective for Ukraine? It also recalls several weeks ago, General Zeluzhny, Ukraine's commander-in-chief, who's really perhaps the most beloved most beloved figure here right now. He was at a birthday party and he left. And then one of the attendees had a package that he took back to his house and it had a live grenade and it exploded. And there are some questions as to whether or not it was an assassination attempt upon Zeluzhny. But there are some indications that, you know, the Russians, as part of their long strategy, you know, having many different backstops, you know, do they have sleeper agents that were waiting for the moment of Russian weakness to start to try to cause disruption in new ways? So the question is that happening right now?
Scary stuff. We have a text from a listener. This is interesting. Hearing about the snow in Ukraine, I was thinking the Iranian drones are susceptible to freezing temperatures and ice. Maybe they can be less effective and vulnerable in the coming months. A blast of water could disable the navigation and motor. Just hoping. What about that, Joseph?
I'm not sure of the science of that. I know, you know, that as with drones, smaller drones, and with these Iranian suicide drones, they have been developing their technology and testing it even here, you know, in the time of war. You know, one feature of those drones is that they were very loud. Ukrainians call them mopeds, but there's some indications that Iran is developing more silent ones, which will be even harder to take down. But we can look into it. I'm not sure. In fact, because, you know, last year during those wintertime infrastructure attacks, it was not from drones. It was chiefly from long range missiles, which would not be affected in that way. So this is possible to consider. Meanwhile, you know, speaking of drones, I mean, that, you know, they are with a cheap drone, even a $350 drone that Ukrainians tinker with, you can take out, you know, $1 million tank. And so it really is a huge opportunity here. The Russians are catching up on this technology as well. But that's why there are so many efforts to get Ukrainians drones and to experiment with them and to use them in the front. And I was talking with my friend Reg. That's his call sign, Reg. He's from Wales, and he's a British warrior. He had six years of experience in the British military, and he came here to fight in the very beginning of the full-scale invasion. And he's now near that city of Avdiivka, where there's very intense fighting. The Institute for the Study of War reported today that it seems that the Russians are attacking from six different directions, and it looks very much like a situation like that we saw in Bakhmut for much of the first part of this year. At the same time, British intelligence says that the Russians are throwing so many bodies at Avdiivka. So while it is a very difficult situation for the Ukrainians, the Russians are sustaining enormous losses, perhaps the biggest number of losses for any particular battle that we've seen during this entire Russian full-scale invasion of Ukraine. And my friend Reg wrote to me, we're working with some people here to help him get a truck for his unit. And they provide fire support for other units going into the battle. And Reg writes, we must be ready in response to enemy movements in order to blunt Russian assaults, cover casualty evacuations, support friendly assaults, destroy troops in the open, and eliminate vehicles of the Russian armed forces, among many other things. So you can imagine it's a pretty busy day in that type of office there in the field. And Reg adds, with my experience of being involved in large-scale assaults, I truly understand how important it is to get the soldiers fire support and counter-battery cover as soon as possible, no matter the cost. We have saved countless lives in fulfilling this role. And it's, you know, I was telling the story of Reg to our networks of Americans that are helping to support because they really needed a truck. And within just 24 hours, people from the States rallied. And so now that truck will be purchased today. And so here you see, even as they're is, you know, dithering on sending long-range missiles to Ukraine. You know, those attackings have proved so effective, and a smattering was awarded to Ukraine in September, but nothing more since, even though the U.S., you know, has a supply of some 4,000, and Ukraine only has about 20. So while there still is a delay, and there's not even a conversation about sending those things right now, regular people around the world continue to send their support.
We cannot forget about Ukraine. And I'll end on this nice note text from another one of our listeners. Joseph Lindsley's recording of two Ukrainians stating their Thanksgiving greeting to America brought tears to my eyes. Slava Ukraini. Nice, huh?
Well, heroim slava. Mm-hmm. And it's important. You know, everyone I speak with here, especially on Thanksgiving, they really wanted Americans to know how grateful they are. And that is, you know, I can vouch that is a sincere feeling from everyone I encounter here.
Well, we're grateful for your reporting. Thanks, Joseph.